In Hebrews, we read the following. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptian tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before us endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's quite a lot in that, really, isn't there? Yeah, no, I hope you were concentrating. I wonder how many times when you go out of church, you go with a smile on your face. Those of us of a certain age will remember groups of people dressed up, I think, in the Edwardian fashion, I think, singing away, here we are, here we are, here we are again. There's Pat and Mac and Tommy and Jack and Joe. When there's trouble brewing, when there's something doing, are we downhearted? No, let them all come. Here we are, here we are, here we are again. We're fit and well and feeling as right as rain. Never mind the weather, now then, all together, hello, hello, here we are again. Did you get excited at that rendition? Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Of course, some of you will remember the programme that used to start off with.
Billy Cotton Band Show.
No, but same sort of ilk.
Old-time music.
Yeah, it came from Leeds.
From Leeds, didn't that, yeah.
Aye, from Leeds City Varieties. Aye, aye. They didn't get out much. I know, yes. It's still open. The good old days. Yes, it was. You see, and you're too young, Rosie, to know such things. Far too young. Far too young. But it was the good old days. And, of course, the thing that we will remember is that those people all had smiles on the face. They'd probably been paid to have a smile on the face, I don't know. But they used to dress up and they used to have a jolly good time and so forth. And they would go home laughing. And, Mum and Dad had some friends who used to go pretty regularly and they would tell us about it. You've probably forgotten, Mother, but I'll tell you about it later, 10 times, all right? They would go home as happy or happier than when they came in. And I just wondered, if we filmed everybody leaving every church every Sunday morning, would we see those happy, smiling faces? Probably not. Probably not. And we need to know why. Because if we're going around telling people that we have got the greatest story, the greatest gift, the best thing that will change their lives, well, we should at least be happy about it. We should at least know what it is we are wanting other people to experience. We want to know that they will have the excitement, that they will have the quench for further knowledge, that they will know that what we have is something that changes lives. And, you know, we talk, don't we, of some denominations, we talk about the happy clappies and all these people. And there is something, because we talk of the great joy that comes from being a Christian. And then we read the readings for this morning's lectionary. And then we look at that and we think, gosh, if somebody was to come along and that was what they heard, well, you'd run a mile, wouldn't you? You would think, oh, conflict. Oh, I'm going to fall out with my family again. We can see the kind of issues. The gospel reading is probably one of the few times where the image of the meek and mild Jesus doesn't come through. We seem to have a rather more firm, almost angry Jesus. Because he tells people that, you think I've come to bring peace. Well, let me tell you, I've come to bring division. And that's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable for us, for Christians, to say that what we're going to do to anybody who joins us is we're going to create division in your life. We're going to make you argue. It's a little tribal in a sense, isn't it? That notion is that we're going to make you miserable. You know, if you join us, there's going to be conflict. I'm not going to tell you it's an easy journey. Sometimes you have to do things. And then we tell them, but in the long run, it's worth it. All those hours of studying for your GCSEs, it's worth it. All those times when you strive to do the best job possible at work because you're bound to get a promotion. And 25 years later, you've still not got it, but it's worth it. We tell people. All the time, we tell people, put up with it. Put up with that being manipulated. Put up with being got at. Put up with being put down. Put up with being overlooked. Because in the end, it'll be worth it. Then we have that other great line, don't we? You'll be able to hold your head up high. So maybe in that gospel reading, Jesus wasn't talking about that kind of division. Maybe Jesus was actually saying, come on, there's been enough of these manipulations. There's been enough of people being put down. There's been enough of people being persecuted. There's been enough wars. We need a new way. And you people, my disciples, you're going to have to teach the new way. And then it's going to bring you into conflict. You're going to say things that people are going to feel uncomfortable. We have to remember that in Jesus' time, it was a very, very male-dominated society. And yet it was Jesus that showed that all women were equal, that people could change with Mary Magdalene, the reverence of his mother. We often don't talk of those female stories. It's one of the joys of the United Reformed Church that we were one of the first, or I think the first, to ordain women. Jesus was there telling people, yes, there will be conflicts, but it's because the old law and the old world can no longer be left to run. We have to change it. So it's not going to be, there, never mind. I'm sure you'll do better next time. The old lines that us teachers used to write on the bottom of essays. Could do better, you know. And that awful word, satisfactory, which meant absolutely nothing at all, but because we couldn't think of anything else to write, so it was all right. And Jesus is saying, no, we can't have that. It's not satisfactory. Yes, you can do better, and you must do better, and you must change. And if you follow the words of Jesus, you have to change, and you have to show people that there is a better way. We often think when we use words like conflict and so forth that that actually means aggression and war. It's a play on words. You'll be very surprised, and I've thought it, of course, that someone recently wrote that they thought I was a very angry man. I've never been angry in my life, but I said to them, I'll take tenacious, I'll take assertive, and I'll take forceful. And some might say stubborn, but I will not take angry. And it is that bit of looking at what it is that we drive forward with. Martin Luther King Jr., as you know, showed people you can protest. You can have a mass protest, but you can do it in a non-violent way. You can do it in a peaceful way, because by doing it in that kind of way, you're showing what the new order can be. You can ruffle feathers by doing things in the right way of showing dignity to people, the right way of showing that people matter regardless of their background, of where they come from, of their colour, whatever it is, we can put that to one side. Martin Luther King showed that for us. But we ourselves have to be comfortable with that change. We have to know what that change is. We have to understand that we have to stand up for what is godly, what is right, what is just, what is loving. Jesus, as we know, and I've said it to you many times, made it very simple. He took the Ten Commandments and he turned them into two. Because it's so much easier to remember two things than ten. And it's easier to get them in the right order. But he said about, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself and loving your enemies. Jesus knew that you have to love your enemies. But he also knew that if you treat them in a loving way, it might still leave them as being enemies. He didn't tell us, but by living that Christian way, we wouldn't be unpopular. He didn't tell us that by living a Christian way, our neighbours wouldn't understand us. The important thing is that we live that way, that we demonstrate that loving way, that peaceful way, that caring way. And it will divide people. You know the cynicism when people stand outside with a charity box. Oh, yeah, how much is going to the charity and how much is going in your pocket and all those things. We know that cynicism. And there are those things when we do things for the right reasons and somebody still doesn't understand why you're doing it. You will always meet those people. But the important thing is that you live the principles of the Christian faith. And they're the ones that you take with you.